Isaiah 48 and verse number 17, and Pastor Carl in the offering set up really perfectly. We didn't talk or is it, what is the proper word? Is it collaborate or corroborate? Does anybody know the difference between those two words? Is that basically the same thing? Collaborating and corroborating?
No.
It's not? Oh. What is corroborating?
Verify.
Oh. So we did not collaborate. Okay. All right. Thank you for clearing that up for me. My dear mother, she sat on the front row here the last couple of years before she went home to be with the Lord, and she would always correct me if I said anything wrong, but I don't have her here to correct me anymore, so I have to count on some of y'all. So, hallelujah. Isaiah 48, verse 17. Thus says the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord your God who teaches you to profit, who leads you by the way that you should go. I've always liked this scripture. He says, the Lord says, I am the Lord your God who teaches you to profit and who leads you by the way that you should go. Aren't you glad that that's what God, that's his intention for our lives?
Amen.
Aren't you glad to know that his intention is he wants to teach us how to profit? Amen. And he's not talking about being a prophet. And I do know the difference, grammatically and spelling and all that. He's not teaching us how to prophesy. That's P-R-O-P-H-E-T if you were a prophet, okay? But this is to profit. Amen. So God teaches us to profit. So it must be his will that we profit.
Amen.
If he's going to teach you to profit, if he announces to us, I'm the Lord your God who teaches you to profit, then it must be his design and it must be his will and it must be his plan that we profit.
Amen.
Well, I looked up the word prophet in the Hebrew. It means to ascend. The word prophet means to ascend. Amen. It means to rise up. And the next Hebrew word, this is Hebrew word number 3276, by the way, in the Strong's Concordance. Hebrew word 3277, I can't pronounce, I don't know what the Hebrew pronunciation of the word is, but that word means climbing. So it's akin to the word, same root word as the word climbing. So God says, I teach you how to ascend. I teach you how to climb higher and higher. And it also means, this word also means to be able, to be able. So God wants you to ascend. That sounds like increase to me. Amen. God wants you to be able. Amen. God wants you to be able. Have you ever said, well, I'm not able to afford that? Or we're not able to buy that? Or we're not able to do that right now? Well, God wants you to be able.
Amen.
Well, I'd like to give, but I'm just not able right now. Well, God wants you to be able to give. Amen? He wants you to be able to provide for your household, and he wants you to be able to fund the work of his kingdom. So he says, I want to teach you to profit. I want to teach you how to ascend, how to increase, how to climb, how to rise higher and higher. Amen. And I want to teach you how to be able. Amen. To be able to provide and take care of your family. To be able to fund the work of the kingdom. To be able to give and bless others. Amen. And notice it says here, he says, I am the Lord your God who teaches you to profit and who leads you in the way that you should go. When I read that, I saw two things here. I saw the Word and I saw the Spirit. He teaches us to profit. That's His Word. That's His Word. He leads us by the way that we should go. That's His Spirit. Amen. So to profit, we have to follow the Word and we have to learn to be led by the Spirit. God says, come on, if you'll follow what I told you in my Word, I'm teaching you, then you'll profit. And if you allow me to lead you by my Spirit, you'll profit. You will ascend. You'll climb. You'll increase. You'll be able. Amen?
Amen?
Praise God. So we can say this. By following the Word of God, which I believe there's a couple of aspects of that here. Number one, believing the promises of God. What does it mean to follow God's Word? Number one, believe His promises. Believe His promises. And then obey the principles. Following the Word of God means believing the promises of God, and it means obeying the principles of His Word. And by following the leading of the Holy Spirit, we will prosper, we'll profit. And so the title of this, and it may go, I don't know how long we're going to go with this, maybe a couple of weeks or three. We'll see how long it takes us to get out what we need to say. But the title is this, The Pathway to Prosperity. The Pathway to Prosperity. Prosperity is a pathway. He said, I'm going to teach you to profit. I'm going to lead you in the way that you should go. Praise God. I remember Brother Hagin sharing many times, and then I've got it where I think this is in the format of the Faith Food Devotional. It's where this particular quote came from. But I want to read you something that he said. The Lord Jesus said to me once as he came and sat by my bedside and talked to me for an hour and a half. Let me stop and think about that for a minute. As my friend Brother Randy Greer says, either Kenneth E. Hagin was a prophet of God and Jesus came and appeared to him 8 times and in this occasion sat and talked with him for an hour and a half face to face, or he's the biggest liar that ever hit planet Earth, one of the two. Well, over 60 years of ministry and integrity in ministry leads me to believe that it was the former. He was a prophet of God, and Jesus did appear to him and speak to him. And so he says, the Lord Jesus said to me once as he came and sat by my bedside and talked to me for an hour and a half about being led of the Spirit, my Spirit will lead all of my children. The Bible says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. That's Romans 8:14. And this is what the Lord continued to say, I will lead you, and not only you, but any child of God. I will show you what to do with your money. I will show you how to invest it. In fact, if you'll listen to me, I will make you rich. That's what the Lord Jesus said as he came in. The story is, Brother Hagin was actually in the hospital. And he had had surgery. He had severely dislocated his elbow. I can't remember if it was right or his left, but he was on, actually how he got there, he was on the platform preaching in El Paso, Texas, and he was about to jump off the platform. He was younger in those days. This was in 1959 when this happened. And he was about to jump off the platform onto the floor like I would do, like just like this, except maybe it was a little bit higher. And as he started to jump off, all of a sudden he realized someone had placed a reel-to-reel tape recorder there to record his message. They didn't have all the recording equipment that we have today, and people were hungry to get the Word of God, this is before the days of cassette. Does anybody know what a reel-to-reel recorder is? I've seen pictures of them. I probably have seen one or two in my time. In fact, I used to operate one, actually. In fact, the way this is another little history lesson too. The way that the radio station Victory 91.5, the way that 91.5 actually started, it started out as a ministry of Mount Perrin Church, and the programming was not live; it was recorded. And so, don't try to call in and get on the air. It was recorded, and it was recorded down at the studios at Mount Perrin on reel-to-reel tape. And then they would drop it off at Wes Walker's flower shop in Roswell. And I had over the summer when I was home from Rhema, my first year, I think it's when it was, but I was the courier, and I would go down to Wes Walker's flower shop. I would pick up the reel-to-reel tapes, and I would bring them up to the little studio that was located right here in Cumming in a dentist office. It's where it was. That's humble beginnings for sure. And thread that reel-to-reel tape on the machine, and that's how it broadcast. And that's how you, if you were listening to 91.5 in those days, that's how it came over the air. So I do know a little bit about reel-to-reel. I'd almost forgotten that. But anyway, how did we get off on all that? So Brother Hagin's jumping off the platform. He sees there's a reel-to-reel tape recorder right there, and he's about to land right in the middle of it. So he tried to adjust his, his launch off the platform in midair and ended up landing awkwardly and injured his elbow. Thought it was broken, but it was dislocated very severely. So he's in the hospital. And so the Lord began to speak to him. And while he's in the hospital, spoke to him in the car, and he said, here's what's wrong. He said, your arm's not broken. It's dislocated. He said, don't worry about anything. I'm going to take care of you. And he thought everybody in the car heard it as they were driving to the hospital after the service. So he's in the hospital, and he's sitting up there. Everybody's gone. His family doesn't have any family or anybody around with him. And he hears footsteps, coming down the hallway. This is about 6:30 in the evening. He's sitting up just studying his Bible. And he's thinking a nurse is going to come open the door. And to his surprise, in walks the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Jesus comes in, pulls up a chair, and sits down in the chair at his bedside and talks to him for an hour and a half. Now, you can, there's a lot of that. The book that he's written, How to Be Led by the Spirit of God, he talks more about that and what the Lord talked to him. The Lord talked to him a lot about the prophet's ministry and about the fivefold ministry gifts, but he also talked to him about being led by the Spirit. And so that's what he's talking about here. He said, I will lead you. And not only you, but any child of God, I will show you what to do with your money. I will show you how to invest it. In fact, if you'll listen to me, I will make you rich. I am not opposed to my children being rich. I am opposed to their being covetous. Someone could, and this is Brother Hagin's comment, someone could be covetous and not have a dime. People misquote the Bible when they claim that it says money is the root of all evil, but the Bible doesn't say that at all. It says for the love of money. Did you know there's a difference there? Yes. For the love of money is the root of all evil. 1 Timothy 6:10. It's all right for you to have money. It is wrong for money to have you. But Jesus told Brother Hagin that night in 1959 in El Paso, Texas. He said, if you'll listen to me, if you'll be led by my Spirit, he said, I'll make you rich. I am the Lord your God who teaches you to profit, who leads you by the way that you should go. Praise God. I want to read it out of the Amplified Bible. It says, Isaiah 48:17 in the Amplified, and then we'll get into verse 18 as well. Thus says the Lord your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord your God who teaches you to profit, who leads you in the way that you should go. Verse 18 says this, oh, that you had hearkened to my commandments, then your peace and prosperity would have been like a flowing river, and your righteousness, the holiness and purity of the nation, like the abundant waves of the sea. So notice he says here, your peace and prosperity. Now, the reason I read it out of the Amplified is I wanted to because it does amplify it here, the New King James, and the King James says that your peace, remember, you ever sing that little song, I've got peace like a river, you know? Well, he's talking, that's where it comes from. He says, if you will obey his commandments, he says, then your peace and prosperity. Well, how do they get prosperity in there? Well, the Hebrew word is shalom. Shalom. And it is a greeting. Bonnie will greet you with shalom. And she, I love for her to greet me with shalom because she's declaring prosperity over me. Amen. Amen. You ought to receive that greeting. Amen. It means nothing missing and nothing broken. Hallelujah. It means well-being, and it means prosperity, and it includes material prosperity, not limited to, but it includes material prosperity. He says, your peace and prosperity would have been like a flowing river. Amen. That's what God wants for our lives. He wants prosperity to be a flowing river, not just a pond that we come across once in a while, but a flowing river. Amen. A flowing river means there's an endless supply. Right? Amen? A constant flow of blessing and provision in our lives. Praise God. Also notice that prosperity is connected to obedience. Like Pastor Carl was talking about in the offering this morning, our prosperity is connected to obedience, to our obedience to the principles of God's Word. And also, some people think, oh, well, because there have been, let's be honest, there have been a lot of excesses with the prosperity message. And, that's the way the devil operates. If he can't keep you from embracing a Bible truth, he'll try to drive that truth into excess. He tries to blind the body of Christ to a truth. And then once the revelation bursts forth of that truth, then he says, okay, they've got the revelation. Now that revelation has burst on the scene. We got to drive them into excess with it now. And that's what he tries to do. But it's so important that we stay balanced and that we stay in the middle of the road. Because of the excess excesses that have been presented in the prosperity message. Some people have backed away from it and said, oh, you know, that's all, that's excess, that's that, that's that, you know, health and wealth club and all of that. That's the, you know, we don't want to be a part of that. We don't want to be greedy. And certainly we don't. We don't want to be greedy. And the Bible gives us warnings and cautions about that and safeguards about that. But at the same time, it would be the devil that would want you to back away from the truth about prosperity. Why? Because he wants you to stay poor. Amen. It's not God that wants you. God said, I'm teaching you to profit.
Amen.
God doesn't want you poor. God wants you to increase. God wants you to ascend.
Amen.
Amen. God wants you to be blessed. But notice, and some people think, oh, well, you know, we want to focus on holiness and on purity of heart. Well, prosperity is connected to righteousness and holiness and purity. Look at this. He said, your peace and prosperity would have been like a flowing river, and your righteousness, the holiness and purity of the nation, like the abundant waves of the sea. So true prosperity is connected with holiness and purity and righteousness. Amen?
Amen?
Praise God. So again, he said, I'm the Lord your God who teaches you to profit. So let's talk about that first part. He teaches us to profit, and he leads us by the way that we should go. And so it's through following his word, and it's through being led by the Spirit. So let's talk about what he says in his word today, and then we'll get into farther along next week in some things. But he teaches us to profit. So following his word, again, it means believing his promises. Particularly, we want to look at his promises concerning prosperity. And it means obeying his principles. Obeying the principles of his word will bring prosperity if they become a lifestyle to us. Amen. And that's important. These principles have to become, they have to be integrated into our life. It's not a matter of, oh, okay, if I pull this lever, I'm going to get this result. I'm going to try that. No, it's a matter of integrating the principles of God's word and doing them as a lifestyle. Amen. That's important. We need to get that. So, I want to declare to you this morning, prosperity is God's will for you. Prosperity is God's will for you. Would anybody be bold enough to say that this morning? Would you be bold enough to say, prosperity is God's will for me?
Yes.
Prosperity is God's will for me. Amen. Amen. Praise God. So that one of the most important things in this is that we need to see ourselves prosperous. You need to begin to see yourself prosperous. You know, Proverbs 23 and verse 7 says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. In other words, how you think about yourself on the inside, how you see yourself, that's how you're going to be. Amen. It's so important how you see yourself. And in this area of prosperity, in this area of God wanting you to ascend and to profit, it's so important that you begin to see yourself prosperous, even before you are. Amen?
Amen.
And prosperity is not about, it has nothing to do with status. It has absolutely nothing to do with, well, I want to have all these nice things so I can impress my neighbors, or I can show my family that, you know, they never told me I would amount to anything. I want to show them. It has nothing to do with anything of that. Amen. It's to glorify God. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. It's God's plan for you, and it's all about following him and obeying him. It's not about him trying to impress people. It's not about status. That has nothing to do with it. Nothing at all. So, God told Abram, he was called Abram, his name was Abram at the time, but God came to him and he said, I'm going to change your name. I'm changing your name from Abram to what?
Abraham.
Abraham means father of many nations or father of a multitude. And then you know what God did after he told him that? He said, I want you to come out of your tent and I want you to come outside. It was night. He said, I want you to look up at the stars. And if you can count the stars, he said, that's how many descendants you're going to have. What was he doing? He was helping him to see himself differently. He was helping him in his thinking. He took him down by the seashore and he said, I want you to count the grains of sand on the sea. You see all these grains of sand? That's how many kids you're going to have. Praise God. That's a lot, isn't it? Amen. Did he have that many pastors? Well, we'll answer some questions about that later on in here, but yes, God can't lie. Amen. Hallelujah. So the thing is, God was getting Abraham to think bigger, or Abram at the time, as he changed his name. He was wanting him to think bigger. And I believe God wants us to think bigger when it comes to prosperity, when it comes to him teaching us to profit. He wants us to think bigger. I don't know about you, but I think sometimes I've limited God by my small thinking. Yeah. Amen. Amen? The nation of Israel did that. The Bible says in Psalm 78 and verse 41, it says they limited the Holy One of Israel. They limited the Holy One of Israel. Basically, if you read in that passage, they didn't believe he could provide for them. They didn't believe he could take care of them. Let's not limit God by our small thinking. Let's not limit God by thinking, oh, well, God couldn't do that. I mean, we looked at an account in the scripture. Was it last Sunday or was it Wednesday night? It was on a Wednesday night about the prophet that came, and he said, by this time tomorrow, there's going to be a turnaround. You know, that was on a Wednesday night, wasn't it? And there was a man there, an officer of the king, and he said, if the Lord made windows of heaven, could this thing be? In other words, it's not possible. They were in famine. They were destitute. There was poverty and lack all around. And the prophet was prophesying in 24 hours it's going to turn around. He said, I don't believe it. And the prophet said, well, you'll see it, but you won't eat of it. Let's not limit God. Let's not say, well, God couldn't do that, or my situation couldn't turn around. Yes, it can. Yes, it can. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Well, somebody said, well, I live on a fixed income. Well, let God fix it. Amen. Amen. Let God fix that fixed income. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. So the promises of God will help you think bigger. That's why it gives us his promises. That's why we need to get into the Word and see what his promises are, so we'll begin to think, allow those promises to affect our thinking, so we'll begin to think bigger. I like this one. This is one that we've been sharing with you and encouraging you to lay hold of. I believe it's a word, a right now word, a word the Holy Spirit is emphasizing for the body of Christ. We've claimed it toward the end of about the last quarter of last year. We started claiming this and declaring it because the Lord showed it to us and impressed it on our hearts. Psalm 115 in verse 14, look at this. May the Lord give you increase more and more. Not just increase, but increase more and more. We got that one, Amy. Psalm 115, there we go. May the Lord give you increase, look, more and more, you and your children. Amen. God wants you to increase. I said God wants you to increase. Amen. May the Lord give you increase more and more, you and your children. May you be blessed by the Lord who made heaven and earth. Praise God. Now this increase, I believe it's every area of our lives. As I said to you, we declare this every day. I declare spiritual increase. I declare increase in our influence for good and for righteousness. That's a good way to increase. Amen. Amen. And I declare financial increase as well over our lives. So it would include financial increase. It would include material increase. May the Lord give you increase more and more, you and your children. In verse 15, may you be blessed by the Lord who made heaven and earth. Well, if the Lord that made heaven and earth places his blessing on you, folks, you're going to increase. Amen. We need to think bigger. We need to see ourselves as people that the Lord has placed his blessing upon. Hallelujah. May you be blessed by the Lord who made heaven and earth. The God that made heaven and earth. Amen. is the one that has placed his blessing on you. Amen. And that blessing will do certain things for you. Proverbs 10:22 talks about one of the things that blessing, when it comes upon you, when it rests upon you, what that blessing will do. Look at Proverbs 10 and verse 22 with me. The blessing of the Lord makes one what? Rich. Now that's a word that we choke over in the church, isn't it? I mean, you know, it's a little bit easier to say God wants me to prosper, but it takes a little bit more to say, you know, God wants me to be rich. Well, I believe he does. The blessing of the Lord makes one rich. Jesus told Brother Hagin, If you'll learn to follow my spirit, I'll make you rich. Amen. I'm not opposed to my children being rich, he said. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, I don't want to think of myself that way. That's because, you know, we have a wrong connotation of what, you know, you used to watch that show, Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous, and you say, well, I don't want to be like that. I don't want to be arrogant. Well, you don't have to be. You can still be rich, though. You can be rich and holy. You can be rich and godly. You can be rich and generous. You can be rich and righteous. Amen. Yeah. The blessing of the Lord makes one rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. See, in the world, a lot of times there's sorrow accompanied with the riches, because some people, the way they get riches is with sudden, instant fame. Oh, my goodness, we see that with all the entertainment people, and we see what that lifestyle does. It destroys so many of them. It eats them alive. But you and I don't have to fall into that. Amen. There's another way to be rich. It's called the blessing of the Lord being on your life. Hallelujah. The blessing of the Lord makes one rich. Now, I just don't want to say that. I just don't like that term rich. Well, let me tell you what rich means. It means a full supply. It means that's what rich means. The blessing of the Lord makes you rich. In other words, the blessing of the Lord gives you a full supply. Can you accept and can you believe that God wants you to have a full supply? Amen. It means abundant provision. Abundant provision. Can you accept that God wants you to have abundant provision? Amen. Well, no, I just believe he's going to, you know, give me this day my daily bread. Well, Jesus did say to pray that way, but that doesn't mean he doesn't want you to have abundance. Amen. Amen. Yes, we should trust God daily. Yes, we should never get to a place where we're not trusting God and depending on God. That's what Jesus was talking about there. Amen. But look, it says that he adds no sorrow. He adds no sorrow with it. Now, the Amplified says it this way, neither, and some other translations bear this out, neither does toiling increase it. Neither does toiling increase it. Now, it's right to work. Amen. Say that again. I'd like to get it. It is right to work. And it's important to have a good work ethic. Amen. All right. Which is, I think, very lacking in our nation today. But did you see this? I saw this on the news just yesterday that, you know, the government was extending unemployment benefits for, you know, they extended them a long time for people. At first, it was just a few months. And a few years ago, they said, no, we got to, because of the weakness of our economy, we got to extend these unemployment benefits, and we got to give people a whole year if they need it. And we got to give people 2 years if they need it. Well, they cut that back. That all ended recently. Just I don't know, maybe just a few months ago, that all ended. Those extended emergency unemployment benefits all of a sudden stopped. And guess what happened? The economy created 257,000 new jobs. See, one side was saying, oh, no, you're going to hurt the economy. Extending these unemployment benefits, that's going to help the economy. That's going to actually put money in the economy. But it didn't. It was actually hurting the economy. Well, what happened? Well, who was paying, you know, that money has to come from somewhere to pay those unemployment benefits. And where it was coming from was out of the pocket of employers who were having to pay their taxes to fund those extra unemployment benefits. Well, when they saw that they weren't going to have to pay all those extra taxes, they said, you know what? We can expand our businesses now. We can create more jobs now. We need to hire more people now. And on the other side of it, those folks had been saying, well, yeah, I guess I should get a job, but I mean, you know, I got this check coming for 6 more months. All of a sudden, when they saw the check is not coming anymore, they said, you know, I better get out there and get a job. And it created a thing where the 257,000 new jobs were created. Yeah. Amazing. Yeah. What's my point? Well, my point is we do need a work ethic. Amen. Amen. We need to, but also on the other side of that, we need to learn to depend on the blessing of the Lord. Yes. Amen. Amen. In the world, they say it this way. In the world, they say, work smarter, not harder. Right? Amen. We want to work smarter, not just harder. You know, find a smarter way to do that where you don't have to work so hard and you can end up getting more done. Well, that's what the world says, and that's a true principle. But then God says it this way, work with the blessing of the Lord on your life. Amen. He adds no sorrow with it, neither does toiling increase it. Yes, we want to have a good work ethic, but we also want to learn to depend on the blessing of the Lord. What does that mean? It means divine favor. It means open doors. It means opportunities. It means increase coming, you know, and things opening up for us just where somebody else is trying to fight for that, and all of a sudden it just falls into our lap. Amen. That's the blessing of the Lord being on your life. Amen. Where you're not out there, you're just seeking the Lord, and you're following God, and all of a sudden this blessing comes upon you and overtakes you, as it says in Deuteronomy. Amen. Hallelujah. In fact, let's go to the book of Deuteronomy. Look at chapter 8, verse 18. The blessing of the Lord on your life makes you rich. Praise God. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18. And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you power to what? To get well. Look at that. The Lord, who gives you the power to get well? Well, the devil does. The devil will give you power to get well because he wants to turn your heart away from God. No, it says the Lord does that. You shall remember the Lord your God. Now, if you read the whole chapter in context, he says, when you've come into this land that I'm bringing you into, when you've come into it, he said, be careful that you don't say my might and the my power and the might of my hand have gained me this wealth. He says, but you shall remember the Lord your God. For it's He who gives you power to get wealth. Who gives you the power to get wealth? God does. One, that He may establish His covenant, which He swore to your fathers as it is this day. So the Lord gives you the power to get wealth, and in doing so, He's establishing His covenant that He swore to your fathers. Now, who's He talking to? He's talking to the children of Israel there at that time. This is Moses speaking, giving his farewell address to the children of Israel. And he says, guys, remember the Lord your God. He's the one that gives you the power to get wealth, that He may establish the covenant that He swore to your fathers. Who's Moses talking about there to the children of Israel? He's talking about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Huh? Amen. He says, the reason God is giving you the power to get wealth is in fulfillment of the promise that He made and the covenant that He made with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Amen. I want to read this to you out of God's Word translation. Look at how it says here. But remember, the Lord your God is the one who makes you wealthy. He's confirming the promise which He swore to your ancestors. It's still in effect today. So God must have made Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob wealthy. Did He? Well, He absolutely did. You look at every one of them, and you find every one of them, the Bible is very explicit and very clear, and we'll talk more about that, get into more of that next week, about how He made each one of them wealthy. Yes. Amen. Amen. And He said, but Moses is saying, now He's doing the same thing today. It wasn't just for Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It's still in effect today. Well, what about this day? Is it still in effect today? Is it still in effect? Well, no, Pastor, that's in Deuteronomy. That was just for the Jews. That's just for Israel. Oh, is that right? Well, I beg to differ with you according to Scripture. Galatians 3, verse 13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. You can preach prosperity from that verse right there, because when you read about what the curse is, part of the curse is lack and poverty. You'll sow much seed, but you'll harvest little. You know, all your property and possessions will be taken away from you. That's the curse. Christ has redeemed us from the curse. We're redeemed from the curse of poverty. Poverty is not a blessing, it's a curse. Amen. Verse 14, though, is what I really wanted to get to. So we've not only been redeemed from the curse, we've been redeemed unto the blessing. That the blessing of Abraham. The same blessing of Abraham that Moses was just talking about, where he said, the Lord's given you the power to get wealth. He's establishing the covenant that he made with your fathers, with Abraham, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles. Raise your hand and say, that's me. In Christ Jesus, not just the Gentiles, but the ones that are in Christ Jesus. I'm a Gentile in Christ Jesus. That we, Bonnie says, well, I'm a Jew in Christ Jesus. Well, you're already in it. All right, well, praise God. Well, you can't, amen. Well, either way, you're in. You were already in, but you're sure, for sure in now. That we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. The promise was that, well, see, he's not talking about prosperity there, Pastor. He's talking about receiving the Holy Spirit. No, he's not. Abraham didn't ever get a promise that he'd be to receive the Holy Spirit. It was a promise that the Spirit made to him. Yes. A promise that the Holy Spirit made to him that he would bless him and he would make his name great and he would be a blessing. Amen. Hallelujah. And he said, in you, now, he said this to Abraham. He said, I'm going to bless you. And you'll be a blessing. And he said, in your seed, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. God said that to Abraham. When Isaac came along, he repeated this charge to Isaac. He repeated it to Jacob. And it's God's purpose for us today. It's God's purpose that through us, all the families of the earth be blessed. How? Through us proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ. Jesus is the Savior for all mankind, and we've been given the stewardship and the privilege of proclaiming and the calling to proclaim this message to the world so that all the families of the earth can be blessed through us. Amen. 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 Same calling that was on Abraham's life, all right? Now, look at verse 29 of chapter 3. This will clinch it for us here. And this is out of the New Living Translation. And now that you belong to Christ, you are the true children of Abraham. You are his heirs, and God's promise to Abraham belongs to you. God's promise to Abraham belongs to you, and it belongs to me. What was God's promise to Abraham? Well, according to Moses in Deuteronomy 8:18, he says, the Lord your God gives you the power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant that he swore to your fathers. That was to Abraham. So God's promise to Abraham, what God did for Abraham, when God said, I'm going to bless you, he did. And he blessed him materially and financially. And he said, God's promise to Abraham belongs to you if you're in Christ. Are you in Christ?
Yes.
Well, God's promise of prosperity and wealth and provision belongs to you.
Amen.
Now listen, no matter where you're at, this ought to help you today. No matter where what level you're on or where you're at, you know, some people get, you know, confused about this and they say, well, that's just that prosperity message. That's just the American gospel. That won't work around the world. Oh, yes, it does.
Amen.
Oh, yes, I preached it in Honduras. The Odells had me when they were, and they still have a school going there, but for several years they were living there part-time and they were hands-on with the school. They pretty much turned it over to the Honduran nationals now, but they would have me come every year. And they said, we want you to come and we want you to teach on prosperity. And I did for several years. I would go there every year and we would hear some amazing testimonies of God's provision, teaching these same things, these same principles. Well, didn't you teach it differently to them? I mean, because they're in like a, no. God's word is the same.
Amen.
It didn't say, now, if you live in America, the land of opportunity, this will work. No. God's word is the same no matter where you're at.
Amen.
And God's word will work. Amen?
Yes. Amen.
Glory to God. I know several years ago, I think this was in 2004, I was out in Keller, again with the Odells. I was out at a missions conference that they were having there. And they had their dear friend, Sam Chelladry. Sam is the one that they've partnered with in India to reach millions and millions of people over the last 25 years with the India Harvest Plan that they began in 1990. And Sam is a pastor. He's from India. He came and went to Bible college here in the United States, pastored a church in North Carolina for a while. God called him to go back to India. And so he went back to India, established a church there. establish a Bible training school, and through that, the India Harvest Plan was birthed. And they would do 4 or 5 crusades a year. They've reached millions of people, millions of people. And we've had a hand in that. This church has had a hand in that, helping to finance a lot of those crusades. Anyway, Sam was there in California as well at this conference, and we were talking about what we were going to share in the conference, and that was about the time I was still going to Honduras and teaching on prosperity. We were on that subject, and he said, "Yeah," he said, "I've been teaching my people." I thought he said, "I did a series for 15." I thought he said 15 weeks on prosperity to his church in India. He pastors a church in Chennai, India. I thought he said 15 weeks. I thought, my goodness, Sam. I said, you preach for 15 solid weeks to your congregation in India on prosperity? He said, no, brother, not 15 weeks. He said, 50 weeks. Amen. 50 weeks in India. And guess what? His church is one of the largest churches in India, one of the most prosperous churches in India. He's on television. He's on television all over the nation now. Because years ago, he sowed seeds in his people, the seeds of truth. And they didn't accept the fact that, oh, we're poor Indians. We live in the poorest nation on the earth. They begin to see, no, I'm not a poor Indian. I'm in Christ. I'm Abraham's seed. The promise belongs to me. And they begin to prosper. Amen. So the word of God works anywhere. Amen. Hallelujah. All right, I need to wrap this up. My wife says my sermons are good, but they're sometimes a little long. So she's just bold enough to say what none of the rest of you are. So, hallelujah. All right. She has a lot of wisdom, too. Praise God. She reminded me of that revelation that Brother Hagin gave to Brother Randy. He said, Brother Randy, you need to gain one more revelation. He said, what is that, Dad? He said, you need to get the revelation that the mind can only receive what the seat can endure. All right. Well, y'all could stand up for a moment if that's everybody doing all right? I'll wrap it up. I'll wrap it up right here. All right. So, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. Look at this. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you, through his poverty, might become rich. And the New Living Translation, God's Word translation, that he both say that he might make you rich. Jesus became poor so that we could be made rich. In just the same way that Jesus was made sin so we could be made righteous. Jesus took our sickness and diseases by his stripes. We are healed in the same flow, in the same motion. Jesus became poor so that we could be made rich. Well, isn't he talking about spiritually rich there? No, you got to read the Bible in context. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and chapter 9. Both chapters, Paul is dealing with money. He's talking about material riches. That's what he's talking about in those entire two chapters. And he said Jesus was made poor materially, stripped of every possession when he hung on the cross, that we, through his poverty, might be made rich. Amen. Oh, praise God. Do you know the grace of your Lord Jesus Christ? You should get to know it. Amen. He says, you know the grace. Well, we should know the grace of the Lord Jesus in this era. Though he was rich, yet for our sake he became poor. It's like the blessing of the Lord. The blessing of the Lord makes us rich, and he adds no sorrow. The New Testament side of that is Jesus, the grace of the Lord Jesus, he became poor that we might be made rich. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, the next chapter, verse 8. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. As it is written, he has dispersed abroad, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. So God, it says, makes all grace abound toward us. Again, the blessing of the Lord. That's the New Testament counterpart to the blessing of the Lord. The blessing of the Lord makes you rich. God makes all grace abound toward you. See, prosperity is ours through the grace of God. Amen. 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 And he says that you always, look at what he says here, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. How often? Always. How much sufficiency? All sufficiency. That means every need. And how many things? All things. And that you may have an abundance for how many good works? I'm not there yet. I don't know about you. I'm not there. I still need to ascend to that. I still need to have a little more ability. Amen. There's good works that I hear about that I would love to give or to give more to. I'm headed that way, though. I hope you are with me. Amen. Amen. I hope that's in your heart, that, Lord, I thank you for all grace so that I have all sufficiency in all things and I've got an abundance for every good work. Amen. 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 Praise God. All right. Now, and then he says, verse 9, he says, as it is written, he's dispersed abroad, he's given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. In other words, he said, God wants to bless you so that you can be a blessing. And notice the scripture he quotes. He says, as it is written. So where is it written? Where did he write that? Well, that's Psalm 112 and verse 9. That's what that is. 2 Corinthians 9:9, the as it is written, the quote there is quoting from Psalm 112 and verse 9. Well, let me ask you this. If verse 9 of Psalm 112 applies to us, and it does, because Paul just said it did. He just attached it to us right there. Do you suppose the rest of Psalm 112 would apply to us? I believe it would. Well, so let's look real quickly at that. Verse 1, praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who delights greatly in his commandments. Verse 2, his descendants will be mighty on earth. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Verse 3, wealth and riches will be in his house. I wonder if any of us would be bold enough to say, wealth and riches are in my house. Hallelujah. Wealth and riches will be in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, let's go back there. Verse 10. This is out of the Common English Bible. The one who supplies seed for planting and bread for eating will supply and multiply your seed and will increase your crop, which is righteousness. Verse 11, we'll stop right here. Verse 11, you will be made rich in every way so that you can be generous in every way. Amen. Such generosity produces thanksgiving to God through us. Amen. Hallelujah. So this is God's plan. Verse 11, you'll be made rich in every way so that you can be generous in every way. Amen. God wants you to be rich. God wants you to have an abundance. Why? So you can be generous in every way. So, well, I believe it's God's will for some people to prosper because he's called some people to the ministry of giving, but not. Well, no, he's not writing to just a select few here, folks. He's writing to the church at Corinth. And in doing so, he's writing, we can receive that for the church incoming or the church anywhere. Amen. You'll be made rich in every way. Well, that would be financially. If he says every way, that'd be the financial way too, certainly, wouldn't it? So that you can be generous in every way. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word today. Father, we thank you.